And no matter what her response was, I did my job. And by that I mean when I set my goal for what I'm going to do every single day, I set it by how many people I'm going to share with. I don't set my goal by how many people are going to sign up. I don't set it by what my OGV is going to be, because the truth of the matter is I'm not in control of how many people sign up. I know how many I would like to sign up. I mean, I have an idea in my head and a desire, but that's not a decision on whether or not I succeeded. What I set it on is how many people I'll share it with. And for me, that number's 10. So if I hand her that flyer and she takes it and she crumples it up in front of my face and throws it in the trash, I still get to mark one off my list. That's what it's about for me. It's 10. Now, out of those 10, when I go share, and some of the times I'll share peppermint. Somebody's rubbing their arm or whatever, and I go, oh, here. And I hand them a bottle of peppermint. This will help with the pain. Go ahead and rub it on there or something along those lines. Or they got a sinus thing going on. Here, leave my peppermint. And if they ask me some questions, I'll answer some questions, and I keep it very, very brief. Some other ways that I do is the CD. If I'm chit-chatting with someone and they seem to have some information on health and nutrition, I go, oh, we've got some great classes we do, and I hand them that. And then if they ask me another question, then I'll say, oh, and I'll hand them the missing link. This has got some great information on it. Listen to it. And they do. They'll take it, and sometimes they do stuff with it, and sometimes they don't. It's totally up to them. Another way that I really had really good success is when I see anybody with kids. If I see somebody with kids and we happen to be, we'll just say Walmart again since that seems to be the place, I'm with somebody and they're at the store. I always make sure when I'm at Walmart, I run down by the shampoo, conditioners, lotion, that type of a thing, and I'm looking down the aisles in hopes that I'm going to see somebody with children because I think it's really important. Our kids, I mean, like I said, I'm a homeschool mommy of four, and kids are my heart. That is my big desire is to have our kids healthy as a nation. And so I will see somebody over there, and they're picking up one of those types of items. And I'll walk up, and I'll actually say, I know you're going to think I'm a whack job. And they kind of back up a little bit, and I laugh, and I say, I just have to say, will you look on that bottle right there for me, and will you see if it has propylene glycol or sodium lauryl sulfate or any other little thing? And they kind of look at you a little bit weird. And I pull out my Rub-A-Dub-Dub, and they always turn it over, and they look, because we are conditioned to do what we're told to do. And so I smile and say, would you turn that over and see if it's there? And they go, okay, even though they do, they think I'm a whack job at that point, and that's okay. And they look on there and they go, well, yeah, it's right here. And I go, ah, I knew it. Absolutely. Look at this magazine that I have right here. And it's just irritating me. The only reason I had to stop and share with you is because it's so dangerous, and I know with you having children, you had absolutely no idea. And I point right to the Rub-A-Dub-Dub where it talks about those different chemicals, and I say, I just wanted to make sure I took the opportunity to share with you the dangers that are there, and would you please, please make sure you share this information with other people, other moms that you know. Just, we've got to take care of our kids, and nobody knows about it. And they always say, oh, absolutely. Why in the world would they put antifreeze in my daughter's shampoo? And I laugh and I go, you know, I know it's that way. You know, we do a lot of classes teaching on health and nutrition and the dangerous toxins that are out there, and I would love to have you join us for one of the classes. And I reach into my purse and I hand them a flyer on the upcoming class. Now, that's another way that we reach out to strangers. None of those are horrifying. And I know to some of you that's just something you're not going to be able to do, and that's okay, because there's what? No wrong way to build young living. These are just the things that I do. This is the world according to Shannon. Everybody's always asking what we do, so I wanted to share with you that some of the things we do. Now, there's also a little bit of rhyme and reason to that. When I talk to a stranger and I'm sharing with that lady on the Rub-A-Dub-Dub and she's looking at it and she asks me the question, why would they do that? Well, my first answer is exactly what I said, because it's just the way it is. And we teach classes on health and wellness and toxins, and I hand her the flyer. Now, I always start to walk away at that point because I just wanted to share some information, because what will happen is the people that are interested and understand this, underline it, write it down, and get it in your head. Somebody that's interested is going to be interested no matter what you say. You can't say it wrong. If you will just share, they're going to ask a question. So as I get ready to walk away, if that same lady says any other question, she asks me another question, I'll turn around and I'll give her another 3-4 second answer, and then I'll point to the flyer again and I'll say, we do classes on this exact stuff right here in the area. Feel free to come. And there's a free coupon on the bottom. You can make a copy of that if you have any friends that have other health issues and they're kind of curious about health and nutrition, bring them along. You can get as many people free in for that as you would like. And I smile, have a great day, love to see you there, and I start to walk away. Now, this is where it gets interesting. If they ask me a third question, well, then I kind of change what I'm going to do. Because at that point, what I know is I have somebody who's truly interested. Because, see, my time is of value. I don't want to just immediately, as soon as I share with somebody, try to get them and get an appointment, and I want to sign them up, and I just fire hope them. I don't want to do that. I just want to spread a little bit of wisdom, give a little bit of information, and if they're interested, they're going to keep coming towards me. And so that third time she stops me and asks another question, I say, oh, you know what? I've got some information that would answer that question wonderfully. You know what? I will be back out in this area tomorrow at 2 or Thursday at 4 or Saturday at 5, whatever it happens to be. And if you would like, I would be glad to drop that by so you can check it out. You are going to be amazed at the amount of information there is. Now, what they typically say is, oh, are you sure? And the reason behind that is because I was not pursuing them. You see how that works? I handed her, I gave her the information on Rub-A-Dub-Dub. I started to walk away. She asked a question. I gave her a flyer on the classes that we had. She asked another question. I answered that quickly, and I threw it back to there. And when she asked that third question, then I'm willing to get her the information because you're so interested. I've got some information you're just going to be amazed at. And so what I do is say, absolutely, I'll be out in this area. You live out in this area? Great. Does 2 o'clock seem to work for you? Phenomenal. I'll stop by and let you look at that. Get all that taken care of. Here is my name and phone number. And what I do is I hand them a business card or I point on the flyer and I show them where my phone number is on the flyer. And I say, give me a call. We'll get that set up. And then I start to walk away and I stop myself and I'll turn back around and I'll go, you know what? I know me. I know how busy I am and I know that I tend to avoid answering the phone when I'm doing stuff. And I don't want you to miss out on this information. So listen, why don't I give you a call? That way I make sure I get this stuff to you. And they always go, oh, absolutely. And I write down their name and their phone number. And then I start to walk away and I say, oh, I know me. What I need to do is go ahead and get your address and everything so I can just stop by and get that to you so I don't lose the phone number. Now, the thing that I think is quite funny is that I never get asked, well, if you would lose my phone number, why wouldn't you lose my address? And again, it comes back to if you are just very, very relaxed and very easy with it, they don't question it. There's total trust, and if you're putting that out there, that's what they're going to receive. They're going to receive the trust and the good intentions that you have. And so that's what I do. I get their address. I have all the information. They can still stop by at the meeting at another time, and I stop over the next day. Now, when I stop over, I honor their time. I think that's really important. So many of us tend to just talk, and we don't take time to listen to what other people are saying. So it's the next day. I'm at their home, and when I knock on the door, I say, hi, is now a good time? Now, I know that's weird because we had an appointment, but the thing is I don't call to verify the appointment, and I don't call for a very good reason. If you call to verify the appointment, 9 times out of 10, they're going to cancel or postpone for one reason or another, and I don't want to give them that opportunity. So I stop by. Now, I will be honest, out of 10 appointments that I set up, I usually have 1 or 2 people that just plain aren't home, and I use that time effectively and go share with somebody else. That's when I fit in my fine 10 or whatever I happen to be doing at the time. Now, when I get to their home and they say, oh, this isn't, I have to go get the kids, I say, oh, fantastic. Now, the reason why I say fantastic is because what follows. I want to take the pressure off her. I don't want her to think that I'm offended that she wasn't available, that I'm angry at her, or anything like that, because I want her to know it's okay. And what I say is, oh, that's fantastic. I didn't want you to be standing here waiting for me, but I've got somewhere else I have to be. And I just didn't want you hanging. Now, is tomorrow or Tuesday or Thursday a better time for you? Because it certainly would be a better time for me. Awesome. And you're sure that's a good time? Absolutely. Now, I have never followed up a second time with somebody and then not be available because I respected them. I honored them, and I took the problem on me. There was a reason they couldn't show up. There's a reason I couldn't. And it's really true. I always have somewhere else I can be. So I don't feel like I'm lying in any way, shape, or form, but I want to make them feel comfortable, and I want them to feel like it was a good encounter and they want to get back together with me. So at that point, I usually leave them a little something, like our everyday oil brochure, something just to check out while we're gone, or maybe the missing link if I hadn't given that, or if I hadn't given the rub-a-dub-dub, just something. You know, check this out, and I'll see you Thursday at 4. I'm so sorry. I've really got to run. Now, when I go back that second time, now, typically it's the first time. I don't always have where I have to leave. Most of the time I get there, and they're ready for me, and you know, sometimes they're sitting in their sweats and PJs because they forgot I came, but they welcome me, and I come in, and I sit down, and I share. And I always want to make sure that whatever the question was that they had asked, maybe she asked, well, what would I do for shampoo and conditioner if I can't use that for my daughter? You know, what am I going to do if everything has, if all the toothpaste has garbage in it, what am I going to do? So I want to make sure that I refer back to that issue. So when I come to the home, the tool that I personally use every time I follow back up, it's the one I use, Cold, Hard, Fast, is my essential oils desk reference guide. And I use it specifically on purpose because it is extremely duplicatable. I want this person to know that everything, every word I'm telling them is right here, very easy for them to access, because I want to give them the vision immediately that they're going to be able to do the same thing I do. They're going to change lives, that there's a world of friends. Now, mind you, that very first contact, what did I say to her? In the store, handing her the rub-a-dub-dub, I shared the information. I said, if you have friends and family, please let them know about the toxins. So I said that within the first few seconds. I don't ever want to waste my time speaking to someone and not give them the impression that there's a whole bunch of other people that need to know. There's a world of people, so we start that immediately. So when I follow up and I open up the door and they invite me into their home, I sit down right away. I said, now, we were talking about toothpaste and all of the garbage that's in it. Let me show you. Will you go grab your toothpaste? And they always jump right up off the couch and they go grab their toothpaste. I say, now, let's look up some things. And I have them look up, like the propylene glycol, sodium lauryl sulfate. And then we talk about what's in there. We go into the rub-a-dub-dub just a little bit more. And then I explain the options. What are the options to that? And we talk about the thieves line. I open it up in the book. I explain it. I let her smell the thieves, rub the thieves, go through that different process and how we have the toothpaste, the shampoos, all the stuff so you don't have to. But I also explain to them, really important, how the body can clean those toxins out. It's a great, great, great tool. Everybody can share that with people, and how the oils begin to dissolve those chemicals. And they just get so excited. They're excited. They didn't know there was an option. And so, again, while I'm sitting there talking to them, I say, your friends are going to be so excited because I am sure your daughter has a lot of friends. Absolutely. You know, whatever the conversation is, are you involved in any moms groups, any mothers groups, any, you know, that type of thing? I would love to be able to come speak to them about the toxins because I'm sure they don't know either. And do you know they always go, oh, they would love that. That would be wonderful. You really wouldn't mind? Oh, absolutely not. It's what I do. People need to know there's an option. And so it just becomes a little friendship that you've developed. And by introducing them also, I always want to refer them back to the meetings. And so during that conversation, we also share, and remember, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, whatever the day is, there's meetings right here. Grab a couple of your friends next Tuesday. The class is going to be on pain and inflammation, whatever it is. And you just know you have friends that have issues in that area. You know, grab them, bring them with you. People need to know. And I think that right there, that key that we instantly start sharing with them, not to sell, not to be a networker, nothing but that people need knowledge. All we're talking about is sharing knowledge. And nobody's afraid of that. It's easy. They can see why and how they can do that. And even if they never build this huge, you know, diamond organization, most people will still share with 3 or 4 people, and that's all it takes. If everybody shares with 3 or 4 people, what can happen? How great can it be? And that's what we do. That's pretty much what we do with strangers. There's lots of other little things that we do, but that would really be the starting place on how to share with strangers and how you incorporate them in. Now, there at the meeting, we're sitting down, we're doing everything that we have to do. When it comes to the time of having her sign up for her Thieves kit or her Everyday Oil kit, I have been sharing with her for quite some time. We've been talking for about 30, 35 minutes at that time. We've talked about her friends. We've talked about some of the family issues they have coming on. Now, the whole primary goal of this particular meeting was on thieves, because we were talking about toxins and showing her our kids' line and the Mighty Vines and all that kind of stuff. But we also, at that point, introduced for about 3 or 4 minutes Mintra Red. and the importance of just building her daughter's immune system so she doesn't have to worry about, you know, like the flu, the different things, just building her immune system like it needs to be. And then we touch on some of the everyday oils. I typically will pull out some lemon because everybody enjoys that. I pull out the peppermint and show them, and we talk a little bit because I want to introduce her that there's more to this than whatever the focus was. You know, some people, when I come over and talk to them, it's just about building because they have pain issues. So we gear it around pain, but then I always want to roll into the other areas we have. Young Living has a wide variety of products, and I want people, although I don't expect them to get something from every single category, I want them to know what's available. I want to open their awareness to that. And so we go through that process, and then what I do is I grab our membership application out of my purse, and I say, now we have a $35 one-time lifetime membership fee, and that's going to get you a bottle of peppermint, which we talk about everything that does. You absolutely want to have that, and it comes with a bottle of lavender, and we talked about some things you can do with that and helping the kids be able to relax in the evening. You're just going to fall in love with that, and it also has a coupon for for 50% off of a diffuser. And it gives you 3 samples of the Ninja Red that we talked about. A lot of literature. I want you to read the literature and watch the DVDs because they're really going to help you to understand things. So here's the membership application. You can go ahead and start filling that out. And then what we want to do is, I know we talked about a lot of things today, and I know you're going to want the fees line. I know you definitely want to start with that. That kit has, and I tell them everything that's in that, it's $115 when you incorporate that into our one-time lifetime membership fee. And you add that together, it's $150 today. But we also have the everyday oil, so you have some hard choices here to make. Would you like to start with that everyday oil kit today, the Thieves kit, or the Ninja Red? Or would you like to go ahead and get all of it? That's perfectly fine, too. And what we have done is the decision is hers. She has all of the knowledge. We've shared with her some stuff. Now, mind you, we've only been here probably about, at this point, it's been about 45 minutes, because, again, I want to honor her time. So what happens is I slide the membership application over, and I tell her, go ahead and start filling that out. Now, again, we are conditioned. We have, since we were little kids, we've been told what to do, and we do it. We've been told what to do, and we do it. And the teacher tells us what to do, and we do it, and we begin filling it. And that's exactly what happens 9 times out of 10. Even if the person hasn't decided what they want to do yet, when I slide that application over and I say, here, go ahead and start filling this out, they always pick up the pen and they start filling it out. Now, as they're filling it out, they might have questions, and those are what we're going to call objections. But I want us to get that stigma out of the way, and the only reason I use that word is because people always say it to me. I get all these objections. I have people say this, people say that. And so we're looking at that perspective of, we're looking at it as objections, and it's not, because if you've covered a lot of it beforehand, you don't have to have that in an answer when they're trying to make their decision. Now, the first thing you note is I don't give them an option there at the end on would you like to get started. And I don't use that word on purpose because we are also, just like we're conditioned just to do what we're told and start filling out the application, we are also conditioned to just say no. I mean, think about it. When you walk into a store, you could be looking for something very specific. You could have been to 10, 15 different stores, and you walk into the store, and you go through the door, and the salesperson says, hi, how are you today? Can I help you find anything? Your immediate answer is, no, thank you. And then you turn around and go, now, do you have? That's exactly what we all do, because we're conditioned with that immediate no. So if I were to say to this young lady at the end of this thing, she's loving the thieves, she knows her kids need it, she wants me to come to her MOPS group and share with some of the people, we talked about her cousin or her aunt or her whatever issues were going on, and she loved it, she wants this stuff, I know that she does. But if I were to say to her, would you like to get started? I'm giving her the opportunity for her mind instantly to go to what it's conditioned to. And that conditioning is, oh, no. I have to. And then it's whatever answer will validate the word no. So you are setting them up for that. To me, it's kind of like when we set our kids up for failure. A lot of times I've heard parents and I see them doing it, I think, oh, you're driving me insane. They watch their child do something. They watched them do it. They dropped a toy onto the floor. They knocked it off the shelf. They whatever, accident or on purpose. And then they will say to the child, oh, Alicia, did you just throw that on the floor? Now, what is the conditioning answer? The conditioning answer is no. So immediately they lie. And the truth of the matter is you knew. So if you just rephrase that sentence and said, honey, why did you throw that on the floor? It changes the thought process. The thought process is, and sometimes the answer from the child is, I don't know. and they don't know. But at least the answer wasn't a lie. By asking a directed question, you are giving them the opportunity to go to the immediate answer of no. So I want you to learn to just rephrase things. If you just rephrase them just a little bit, you're going to see huge differences. Because my question to her at the end there is, would you like to start with the Thieves Kit, the Raindrops Kit, the Thieves Kit, the Everyday Oil Kit, or the Ninja Red Kit? There wasn't an option of no. It's a little bit different. It's giving them the option to make the decision, but not making them drop back on that. And it's real important to make that distinction. Now, another objection type thing that we get is people tell us that they hear people say, oh, I don't want to give up my Social Security number. I know that I'm not supposed to, and they go through this whole long line. And I say, oh, I completely understand. I know that's there because the government knows this is a networking opportunity and there's a chance you could make money. And if you made any money, they definitely want their piece of the pie. That's why it's there. And I smile and I slide the paper towards them a little bit more. And 9 times out of 10, seriously, they will go, oh, and they will grumble about the government for a second and they will put their Social Security number there. Every once in a while, though, it does happen where they go, oh, I don't care. I absolutely refuse. It's just not what I want to do. And what I do at that point is I reach over, because we've had them write down prices if they have health issues and stuff, and I begin changing the prices. The Ninja Rod was $150, and I will cross off the $150, and I will write $200. And then I will reach to the next thing, and I cross that off, and I change the price. And it usually takes about 2 or 3 items of me changing the price before they kind of put their hand out, and they go, what are you doing? I go, well, I totally understand. I would never want to make you do anything you're not comfortable with. And if you don't want to put your Social Security number on there, you don't have to. And I cross off the next thing and change the price. And they go, so what are you doing? And I say, oh, that 25% off that you get as a member, that membership discount, well, to be a member, you have to have your Social Security number to keep the government happy. So if you don't want to be a member, then we're going to go ahead and switch these back to the retail prices. But that's fine. Everything will still get shipped to you. Everything's still good. And I continue changing prices. It does not take just a couple of seconds. And they go, oh, no. No, that's fine. I didn't realize that's how it was done. And I just smile, and they take it back, and they do everything that way. So I don't make a big deal of it. If they don't want to give their Social Security number, I can't change that. All I can change is the prices. So I just begin putting the prices back to what they would be if they were just a customer, and it's totally fine if they would like to be a customer. Now, in the whole time we've been doing this, 2.5 years, I would say we've probably had 15 to 30 people that have had an issue with the Social Security number. We haven't had a lot of that. But out of those, I have never had anyone choose to not put the social down at that point. None of them want to pay the higher price. So I just slide and make it easy. Take care of it nice and easy. And if somebody says, I just don't have the money, you know, there's times where that's true. Somebody truly, truly does not have the income to be able to do it. And in cases like that, I go, oh, my goodness, I am so sorry. I totally, totally forgot to explain to you, this is a networking company. So when we were talking about sharing with your friends at the MOPS group, what's going to happen, anybody that's at your little your MOPS group that decides that they want to get started with Young Living, you're going to get paid a check on. So let's do this. Let me just keep your application the way it is right now. And we were planning on doing your MOPS group when, was it, next Wednesday, whatever it is. That's awesome. And then we'll figure out how we're going to get you started after we figure out what all is going to happen with all of your friends at the MOPS group. Not a problem at all. And I smile, and I put that application right into my purse, and it goes smoothly. We get to that party that we do the week later or whatever it is that we're doing. I work with her exactly as if she had signed up. I have her come to the meetings with me. I have her go to the trainings, the different things that we do, and we go to that MOPS group, and we do the meeting there, and we have 4 or 5 people that choose to become a part of the Young Living family that day. And when they're all gone, I say to her, I pull out her application, and I say, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do here for you. Now, what's going to happen is everybody here, and I show her our compensation plan, and I let her know what could happen with those 4 people directly underneath her and what the check will look like a month from now. Because everything she does this month, she's getting paid for on next month. And so I go through the process and I explain. We have a couple of options here. One of the things that we can do is go ahead and if there's any way you can come up with that $150 or the $164 total for your Everyday Oil Kit to get you started. If you can come up with that, we'll just put that in. We'll put these people directly underneath you, and then you know that next month your check will definitely be enough to cover back wherever you were able to pull that 164 from. Now, is that something that might be a possibility? You know, while you're thinking about that, the other option, notice I didn't give her a chance to say anything. I just wanted to go with the next option. Now, here's the next option. What we could do is we could go ahead. If you really, there's no way for you to get started, we can go ahead and have your four friends sign up directly underneath me. And what will happen is when the pay for those four come in next month, I will give you the cash that I was paid. I will give that to you, and you can choose to sign up then. Now, I just want to be sure that you understand kind of the downside to it. When you look here on our compensation plan, every single month for the rest of my life, each of those people, every time they place an order, I'm going to get paid on them. And that portion is going to be mine to keep. So their second month in, although I'll be getting paid 15% on whatever they do, I'll also get any matching bonuses if they choose to share kind of like you did, then I'll be keeping that myself. So what way would work better for you? Is there any way that you can get started yourself? Because that would be so much more financially rewarding for you. 100% of the time, they choose to figure out a way to get started in the next day or two. 100. I've never had anyone with that problem. Now, you keep in mind, we live in right next to Flint, Michigan. We are right on the outskirts of Flint, Michigan. We have major unemployment here, and we had major unemployment before any of the financial changes happened last year. We are one of the lowest income areas. We have more continuing unemployment than any other state. In other words, they've been on it longer here. So income problems where we are, it's huge. And this is one of the ways that we have found to develop. And 100% of the people are able to come up to the, up with the money when they realize that they're going to lose the pay on that. I have never had to sign someone up directly underneath me instead of under that other person. Even if it's only one person they're going to sign up, people always want their reward, and it makes sense too. So I'm just offering them options. If I ever have to do it, I would go through and do it that way because that is one way they can get started. And everybody they sign up thereafter, they can put directly underneath them. And it's just something I figured it out because that's how much problems we have in this area with that. So it's another good thing to look at. There's lots of different things. So what I want you to do is I want you to think of whatever the objection is, whatever the reason is that they said, oh, I just can't. And I want you to think, how could you fix that problem? If that really is a problem to them, how could you fix it? Was it in the wording? Was it a way that you said it, that you set them up for failure? You know, think about that, because a lot of times that's what we're doing. We're setting them up that way. So think about that. If you keep getting the same objections, then there's something in your presentation, something you're putting out there that's making everybody respond with the same answer. So play through that. And if you're not sure what it is, go home after you've had somebody with whatever their objection is, go home and replay what happened. I said this, and she said that. I said this, you said that. I said this, you said that. I said, oh, my gosh. And all of a sudden you'll realize, oh, that's what it was. I said this. And then just change your wording so that it, so that your flow is better, so that you come up with something that works for you. Again, all of these different things that I'm talking about, there is no wrong way to build Young Living. So whatever you're doing, if you want to take some of what we're doing and just tweak what you're doing to make it better and more effective, that's what it comes down to. None of you are going to have my exact wordings. I have people all the time ask me, well, can you just type that up for me so I'll know exactly what to say? Now, come on. You know, even if I did type up what I say, it's not going to sound the same when you say it. You have to come up with your own system, your own way. So you want to make sure that what you're putting out there is putting out there the concept, the thought, the idea that this is the best thing that could ever happen to them. Because if you're not sure if it's the best thing that could ever happen to them, they're not going to be sure either. They're just not. And now the other thing that we do that I think is really important, it is just, to me, one of the keys. You notice the whole time when I was sharing with this girl, in the first couple of seconds I talked about other people she knew. When I got to her home, we began speaking about other people she knew and other ways that we could transfer this information. Now, to me, the first 10 days are key. When you introduce somebody, that first, when I talked to her that day and she got to smell the peppermint, now that was her first contact with the oils. I don't count the contact when I gave her paper, but her first contact with the oils, to me, that next 10 days is huge because excitement is there. And that next 10 days, they are amazed. It's all completely new. They have their, you know, the pain that they had in their knees, whatever was going on, is gone. And that excitement, if you will build on that excitement, you will be amazed at the things that can happen. For the majority of us, the majority of people wait until somebody has their kid in. And then they get their kid in, and then they might go over and they'll share it and show and everything. And then they'll use words like, now when you start feeling better, you're going to want to tell other people. Ah, what a horrible thing to say. If Gary waited until he was 100%, where would we be? Because from everything I've heard on all the CDs I've heard, he was in horrendous pain when he began Young Living. He was in horrendous pain when he was up teaching and doing seminars, and he would come home and Mary would rub him down. He wasn't 100%. There's never a time where you're going to be 100% the healthiest person ever and never have any issues. If I waited, I mean, obviously I'm still overweight. I have health issues. I'm okay with it, but I couldn't wait until I was 100% to share. To me, that is the epitome of selfishness. So you got to make sure that you're not putting that thought in their mind. I don't want people to wait until they feel all better. I want people to tell them immediately because people don't know. You don't know what the oils are going to do in your life, and quite frankly, you don't know how desperate somebody is. So I want them in their first 10 days to do a couple of things. The example we used today was a lady who had a MOPS group that we could go to, but while I would be sitting with her, not only would I talk about doing the MOPS group, I would also talk about her mom, her dad, her aunts, her uncles, her brother, and I would have her looking through the EDR so that she sees all of the different things Young Living can help with. When she flips through the book and she sees diabetes and she says, oh, does this really work with diabetes? I'm going to go, oh my gosh, you'd be amazed. One of my best friends, Cecilia Matheson, and I share what happened to Cecilia. This is somebody she can meet at the area meeting that she's in. And I say, oh, my gosh, bring your dad Tuesday. He would be amazed. And then we chit-chat a little bit more, and she talks about somebody else, you know, her cousin with arthritis. And I go, oh, one of my wonderful friends. Actually, my dad, horrible pain in his knuckles, arthritis issues. Oh, he could meet him Tuesday. It'd be great. Bring him to the meeting because, absolutely, I know what's happened to my dad. I don't know what happened for your mom, but I know what happened for my dad, and I just share a little bit. And after they've talked about three or four people, what I say is, you know what we need to do? We need to talk to your mom and dad separately because that way they can get some one-on-one time. The meetings are phenomenal, but there's usually so many people there. I don't get to sit down and give them the same one-on-one opportunity that I've given with you. So why don't we see if they can stop by tomorrow morning at 10? And what we do is we actually go through that with three or four little meetings. I don't want big meetings with 20 people there and 30 people there. I want little, intimate meetings because I want the time to instill into each of those people the opportunity and the possibility of the purpose that they can have with Young Living. I want them to see that there's other people they need to share with. And that happens in those little, intimate gatherings that we have. Then the big trainings that we do, that's where they come together and they get to just learn all kinds of information. And we have lots of people that sign up at those. But I think the intimate gatherings, the one-on-one, is where we get the best growth as far as personal development. Because they get that one-on-one time with you. So that's something to think of. That first 10 days, don't let that slide. Because what I have found, my personal opinion is, by day 11, 12, 13, 14, the excitement kind of goes away. Because we forget how bad we were. I mean, I know for me, the stroke was horrible. I know that the things I couldn't do, it was bad. My kids took care of me. They did a lot of things for me. It had reversed roles. I was a homeschool mom who now my children were helping me to get dressed. They were helping me to put shoes on. But when I just sit here and I just think about it, I don't remember all of the intricacies and how horrible it was and things I couldn't do. I don't appreciate it like I did when it first happened. It's part of the reason I tell the story all the time is because I don't want to forget where I came from. I want to keep that compassion and that urgency. So keep that in mind because if that's what's going to happen to your new people, have you found that cycle? You sign someone up, they get the stuff, they're all excited at that moment when you talk to them, then you go back a month later and that same person is feeling so much better, they're doing good, but they're not so much willing to share. That's because fear gets in there. They realize that it's a network company and they realize that they're thinking that they've got to share and it's completely different. Completely different in that first couple of days because they just want people to feel what they felt. I mean, think back to how you felt that first time. The very first time that you used the oils and you had something happen. Go back. How different are you? Well, your people have the same experience, and we want to capitalize on that. So that's it for this CD, and we will talk to you in a little bit on the next CD. Thank you so much for listening.